Well, happy Friday, everybody. Thank you for joining us on another edition of Texas Scorecards Friday Roundup. I'm Brandon Walton, the managing editor of Texas Scorecard. We've got a couple of great guests. First, we're starting off former state representative Matt Rinaldi. We were talking about having you on to talk about maybe the mask mandate or some of the stuff, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. But we've got kind of some breaking news this morning. It looks like we've now got maybe the beginning of a second wave of these shutdowns as Abbott orders bars to close. He orders restaurants to limit their capacity, and even interestingly bans tubing and rafting while amusement parks can stay open. How did we get here in just 1 week?
It appears Governor Abbott is reacting to Twitter hashtags, to news items of the day, and is kind of flailing about in a panic, and it's not very reassuring to those of us in Texas who are affected by his orders, since he's effectively some people call him King Abbott. I mean, that's effectively what it is, right? With the emergency order, he is legislating with no legislative oversight. He seems to be throwing stuff at the wall right now, and what we've seen is effectively him reacting to baseline data showing a huge increase in cases among younger people. So what we're getting is a daily like laundry list of things young people do that sound scary. I mean, it's rafting, tubing, bars.
Yeah, you know? And skateboarding next or something.
Yeah, there's absolutely no consistency to this. It really, really seems that he's just kind of legislating in a panic, which is, by the way, why we have a legislature, so we can have reasoned ways to go about this. We don't have one person acting rashly and in a panic, which is what we appear to have right now.
Yeah. So if you were watching the leftist media, I kind of repeat myself, but you know the mainstream media. I mean, they have been hammering all throughout this coronavirus situation, but especially in the last couple of weeks, have been hammering that every day there's been a record spike, there's been record new cases, that reopening the economy was too soon. Is that what the data?
Well, I mean, you said a couple things. I just talk generally about what the data says, but yes, the media is jumping on this because they obviously want a second shutdown. When you look at like Gregorio Cesar in Boston, you can see what the purpose is. He's proposed a series of three shutdowns, which end, interestingly enough, in November. I don't know what happens in November.
Yeah.
But, this is clearly politically motivated. I do think they're trying to destroy the country. I think other people are trying to, you know, just cause chaos, as we've seen with the protests. And I do think it's all connected for a small subset of the population. And a lot of the people are just scared. Are caught in between. But the problem is we have no leadership from our governors right now, I think you see some leadership out of people like DeSantis, and I think
Florida,
you see someone like Abbott being very tentative. Now, up until now, DeSantis and Abbott have kind of acted, you know, in tandem. But do you notice Abbott's getting the brunt of the left's ire right now? And I think it's because they sense weakness. And they know they can influence his decision making, and they've proven themselves right with the orders the last few days. So we have an order, the mask order comes down last week, where he effectively says, "Oh, you discovered a loophole in my order," because he was obviously too timid to issue a statewide mask order, which is what he probably wanted to do. Then before we have time to see if that even works, he issues a pause on reopening. Then he issues a series of rollbacks on reopening today. What happened between yesterday and today? Now, if you're a strong leader, you are looking at the situation, and if you do want to issue a series of mitigation measures, first of all, they should be narrowly tailored toward what you're trying to do. They should have basis in scientific fact, okay? But also, let them work. Figure out what your strategy is, then go forward with the strategy. But it seems to be changing every day when there's no time for his previous measures to work.
Well, and I think that was a criticism that we heard a lot of, especially during the first wave of shutdowns back in March and April, was, well, what's the plan? What's the metric that we're going to be able to go forward and kind of determine whether or not we've been successful? By the way, I just want to remind folks that if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to leave them in there. We're getting a lot of talk right now from folks in the comments asking about RPT convention, Republican Party of Texas convention, coming up in a couple weeks. And I wanted to ask you, it seems like you touched on this. It seems like Governor Abbott, as he's making these, I guess you could call them unpopular decisions, is sort of deferring some of the blame or whatever on these local officials. Is that something we're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these decisions are being made with self-preservation in mind for him, which is why it looks so disjointed. And I don't think the people are concerned with his political future. I think the people are concerned with what's right for their safety and for the economy and how they provide for their family. But this has to be based on the data and what actually affects the data, right? I mean, that was the whole point from the beginning. We had 15 days to slow the spread. In Texas, we saw virtually very few cases. So instead of immediately reversing course, saying, okay, well, if we will look at other mitigation measures, if we see a spike, we went forward with a month of lockdown when there was virtually no spread in Texas, and we didn't reverse those. So now what we're seeing in the actual data is, yes, we're seeing very, very large increases in spread that's being detected among primarily younger individuals, but we're seeing a divergence from the fatality numbers, right? So fatalities are fairly steady. They're flat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you expect them to go up, and it is a lagging indicator, but we've had 3 weeks now, 3 weeks or more, and we haven't seen deaths spike the way we've seen cases spike. Now, we've seen hospitalizations go up. However, there seems to be some indication in the data that a lot of that's driven by how hospitals are testing people who come in for other things. And in fact, people in ICUs who can track the data within the hospital.
Okay.
And by the way, a lot of the hospital capacity issues you hear about, Houston's denied that there's an issue, that the Houston hospitals have denied there's an issue. In Dallas, we're seeing 30% available capacity in the hospitals. Incidentally, Dallas and Houston have roughly the same number of COVID patients in the hospital, which is a very small percentage, like 9%. Most of them are other patients. But Houston sees a capacity problem, but Dallas doesn't. That seems to be hospital management of other issues rather than a COVID problem.
Yes, and we saw, so not only are we seeing the executive orders, which are rewinding back some of these reopening phases, but you also had yesterday four of the big, large counties. Abbott implementing an executive order that would once again limit elective procedures. Mm-hmm. I think we were talking about this earlier that you know, at the end of the day, maybe this is a call that's better made by the hospitals themselves.
Right. And I think, by the way, I think you saw the hospitals in Houston kind of do that. I think they messed up. Like the hospitals in Dallas obviously were leaving more capacity open than in Houston. It almost seems like it was speculative. I mean, it almost seems like the hospitals in Houston were operating closer to capacity, and that scared the governor a bit. And then once it did, they kind of wanted that autonomy back to schedule their own procedures, but kind of overreached on the non-COVID procedures.
All right. So sort of the final question here is the big question on everyone's mind. You know, I think a lot of people feel like we're seeing this happen. We've been through this shutdown before. Maybe we're seeing the start of another one. What can people, what can an average Texan actually be expected to be doing right now? Is the legislature taking action, or are lawmakers doing anything?
What should we be doing?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we should be pushing back against these lockdowns because they haven't been proven to help and have actually caused immense damage to the economy, to public health. I think eventually we need to come to the realization that it's different than the first shutdown. During the first shutdown, we didn't know what this virus was about. Now we know. The spread is immense, but the lethality of it and the severity of it is a lot less than we originally thought. We're looking at CDC had said probably a 0.25 IFR, which is like a really bad flu year or slightly more.
IFR, by the way,
is infection fatality.
For the people who don't know.
So you have a virus that 99.75% of the people are surviving. You have a virus that the vast majority of people have very mild symptoms like loss of taste, smell, or headaches, and or no symptoms at all. So we're setting the precedent that we shut down an entire economy for a virus that has a very similar IFR to viruses that we deal with every year. That's something that in the future we should be very concerned is going to be misused.
Yes, and very, very, very concerned, a lot of concern about what's going to happen in the weeks ahead. Matt, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Our next special guest right now, we've got Jackie Schlegel from Texans for Vaccine Choice. Jackie's written a commentary on COVID and the highlight it's placed on the fight for medical freedom in Texas. Jackie, that commentary is up at TexasScorecard.com right now. You can go view it after we're done, but thank you for joining.
Thank you.
You know, a lot of similarities between your the movement you've been working on, which is for vaccine choice, and a lot of the stuff we've seen just in the last few months from this coronavirus episode. And one of those I think you highlight is, you know, this new push for mandatory masks. So there's a lot of kind of similarities in how the left pushes for these.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of people have been reaching out and asking, you know, how this is similar, but this is all about medical freedom. At Texans for Vaccine Choice, we're on the front lines of fighting for that, for your right to informed consent, medical privacy, and vaccine choice. And we're seeing that highlighted front and center today.
Yes, so we've seen, Governor Abbott have an executive order essentially allowing local governments to institute these mask mandates. And now we're seeing Dallas, Tarrant, Harris County, Travis County, all the big counties, right, are implementing these mask orders. How do people fight back against this? I mean, it's not necessarily an argument that people can argue, and it's sort of a separate conversation about whether or not it's a good idea to wear a mask. But, where did the idea of responsibility.
You know, actually, on the way here today, I was thinking to myself, where do we even stand? I mean, 2020 feels like one big blur as far as what's the new law of the land today? Because I'm not even sure who's controlling what's legal, what's not legal. It just seems like it's kind of a free-for-all at this point, right? But the one thing that just keeps, you know, resonating with me. So first, let's kind of back up a little bit. I am the parent of a medically complex child, okay? That's kind of what launched me into my organization and my work and what I do. And I have to make decisions for her each and every day to protect her and her health, to protect my family. Sometimes they are, you know, fairly easy decisions, and sometimes they're really tough decisions, like avoiding things we really want to do with her to give her quality of life. But at the end of the day, what we can all agree upon is I'm the best person to make that decision for her. What we are seeing today highlighted is a run amok government on both sides of the aisle here that believe. And so when I really did talk about Democrats and the leftist agenda to recruit our children and our young people into the socialist agenda, I am stunned at how many conservatives, how many Republicans, how many people who say they believe in limited government and personal responsibility have gotten on this train of mandates, whether it's a vaccine, whether it's a mask. We need to fight back against this. And I think as individuals, I put this morning, I did a social media post. I see a lot of people saying, you know, legally you are protected if you have a medical condition not to wear a mask, which I agree with that. You do have that legal right. But your liberty in and of itself is an acceptable reason for you to say, I will not comply. And I think we need to stand up against that. I'll be taking my business to a different county. I know that hurts business owners. That's a really tough decision to make, but I'm not going to get confrontational. I'm not going to go into places where I don't feel welcome. I'm going to go to places of business that I can go in without fear of repercussions.
Yes. Moving on to a slightly different topic. We just talked about it. If there's a Republican Party of Texas convention, in whatever form that looks like, there's something really big y'all are pushing for. Barbara actually asked in the comments, please explain consent versus informed consent. I know this is a big part of something that you're working on for convention.
Absolutely. Okay, so to your first point, we really hope there is a convention. At Texans for Vaccine Choice, we actually had 9 conventions that we had planned, and we used this year in between legislative sessions to really get out in our communities, to meet new people, to build the base, to spread the message of informed consent, medical privacy, and vaccine choice. One by one, those dwindle down, and we are left standing with the Republican convention. Before everything else got canceled, I might add that the Democrats actually rejected our application. Oh. Apparently, my body, my choice only applies when you're talking about.
But y'all attended 2 years prior, right?
We did attend. Yeah. It was not pretty. And we had to have police presence there to protect us, which is another interesting point, because I'm not sure we would have that luxury this go around. But they rejected us. So we do have a good support base in the Republican Party. All across the state of Texas, individuals have been attending their precinct conventions and then their county conventions with this informed consent plan. Republicans have supported your rights to choose and to have that patient relationship with your doctor regarding vaccines. What is really wholly lacking in the state of Texas is not that we believe in informed consent, it's that we don't have any laws that really protect your rights to it. As a parent, when I take my children to the doctor, when I take my special needs, that's a really, really valuable relationship. It is a relationship with my doctor that is a lot of trust, and I expect them to give me the risk and benefits of any medical procedure, yet that's wholly lacking with vaccination. The last two legislative sessions, we have had bills that would give informed consent in regards to vaccination. We never got committee hearings from those. And so once again, we're going to the Republican convention. We are asking for support on this resolution, and it will just really strengthen it, saying when you step foot in your doctor's office, we as a party believe that you have the right to know risk and benefits in regards to the medical procedures you are receiving, and you absolutely have the choice to decline those medical procedures without consequence.
Yes, Barbara comments, when there is risk, there must be choice.
Absolutely.
I think you would absolutely agree with that. Alyssa asks, will Texas require masks in schools? I would say at this point, it looks like there's not going to be a statewide mandate for that. But again, we don't know. School starts in the fall, and things have changed so quickly.
And they do change quickly. And I was attacked a few days ago because I had posted on social media that I felt like some of the requirements or suggestions for children or young adults were outright abusive. And I stand by that assessment. Every single day, my families with special needs in particular are drowning because the unjust regulations being handed down. We've had day habs that have been closed. We have individuals in group homes who have not been let out of their bedrooms, much less their house. Really, the harm we're doing, again, you have to weigh the risk and the benefits associated with each and every of these mandates, and they're really, really far-reaching, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Last question, something that's been a big topic over the last few weeks has been contact tracing. I'm assuming you're not too keen on the idea of the implementation right now.
You know, Not only does it make me extremely uncomfortable just in and of itself, again, I'm so uncomfortable with us as individuals, what we are willing to give up for a false sense of security. I think we really need to think long and hard about that, whether it is our medical privacy, whether it is our right to choose, whether it's our right to just live in a free society. Where are we going to draw the line? And I just want to encourage everybody who's on the fence about vaccine choice, who's looking at Texans for vaccine choice, saying, oh, those anti-vaxxers, or I even saw a few comments, oh, great, you know, it's the vaccine people. regardless of where you stand, we all need to think about what liberties we are willing to hand over to the government. And for me, I'm going to draw the line in the sand. I'm going to say, nope. My children, I get to raise them. Their medical privacy is incredibly important to me, and I'm going to fight back against that.
Absolutely. Well, one last quick question while I have you here.
Yeah.
Alyssa asks, do we have religious exemptions for vaccines in Texas right now?
We do. And I suppose she's probably asking about school entrance.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, we did send a letter to Ken Paxton to get his opinion. We have not received that answer back from him, but we do have a concern that school districts may use this pandemic as an excuse not to allow exemptions of this upcoming school year.
Right.
So we're very concerned about that. Go to TexasVaccineChoice.com. Check out everything that we have there. We have a COVID page. We have our letter to the governor, to Governor Abbott, and also to Ken Paxton.
Excellent. I know y'all will be following that closely. Thank you for joining, Jackie.
Thank you.
And thank you to everybody joining right now and watching. Remember, if you have any comments or questions, feel free to leave them in the comments, and I'll be sure to take a look at those after the show. But for now, thank you again for joining us on this Facebook Live. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to this week's Friday Roundup from Texas Scorecard. Remember, you can head to the Empower Texans Facebook page at 11 a.m. every Friday to watch the show live and get your questions in.